listening to the Emo Brown, the Saddest Mexican Podcast.
El compita Gerald Jimenez. No, they don't, no, nobody's ever called you Gerald?
No, Gerardo.
Perdón, Rico Suave shit, dog. Rico. ¿Qué onda, Jerry Jimenez, bro?
What's going on, bro?
Bro, Mr. Jimenez, it's your second time in here. Now we get down to business. When it's round two, we get down to business. We get rid of the formalities. We get rid of everything that you've been like a part of. And now we get involved with what you're doing. When you were here last, we talked about, you know, you were here with Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
You were here with Mr. Tom.
Se coló ese güey.
Ese auto se metió, güey. I was like, all right, I want to talk to Jerry. But no cierto, fishy Tom. You know, we love you. I feel better. I heard you're a little bit under the weather. But now I get you one-on-one. We That's talked right. about your affiliation with LA Soccer Club and, you know, LAFC, todo el pedo, and how you started. You steamrolled and created a whole fan section and did your thing. And you've brought it down to San Diego with our team now, you know? The loyal.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, like, I hear that and a lot of people tell me about, like, oh, you created this, you created that. But it takes a lot of people, man. It's not just, well, you know, it's like when you're building something, you need good people around you.
Yeah,
and
brother.
I think I just got lucky that I was a part of it, man. I don't think I grew anything. I don't see it that way. I see it as just, I was a part of something and I just wanted to bring it to San Diego and it's happening.
It happened.
It's happening.
It's there, man. I mean, yeah. We just came up on the 1 year anniversary of the first match at, you know, for the loyal. And ooh. I just watched the videos. I was bummed I couldn't make it. I had tickets in hand, todo el pelo. And it looked like an awesome event, man. It looked like everybody was finally like, we have a team that we can support. Outdoor soccer is here in San Diego. We can do it. And then boom. The rug got pulled out from underneath us and reset.
Yeah, man. It's good. Well, first of all, it's good to be back. It's good to hear the beautiful sounds of Isa play.
Hey, el Carlos Paez, dog, man. Dude.
No, como extraño, dude. I miss going to like belly up and watching those guys play. God, man.
Because once upon a time, you were a rocker.
Disque.
We kind of got into it last time.
Según.
Como que según, bro? My main method of communication con usted viene siendo por Twitter. So I get at you at Twitter, and on Twitter, once upon a time, you leaked a video. Oh, by the way, or Flashback Friday, Throwback Thursday. This is me, Jerry Jimenez, and my band. We made a video, pinchy dropping dick, like it was no big deal. You just put a video out there, and it was your typical, like, early 2000s, fucking estilo Thursday, estilo Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah.
It was that kind of video, and I was like, this fucking guy over here making emo rock videos.
So the other day, bien chistoso, estamos en la casa, just like hanging out at the house, right? The wife and I by ourselves. The kids spend the night with the in-laws. Oh, qué rico.
Bro, there is no greater pot of gold at the end of the rainbow when the kids go to their grandparents' house.
Dios mío.
Es lo mejor. I planned the whole day. We planned the whole fucking day around it. Oh, Nana Gigi, can we spend the night? Yeah, mijo, you can spend it on Saturday. Boom.
Yes.
Wife and I look at each other. We're like, all right, what are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to do today? Boom, boom, boom. Llegan las 4 de la tarde. We're going to drop you off at Nana Gigi's house. At 4, daddy? I said, yeah, yes, tiempo, papa. I want you to like take advantage of this time that you have with your grandparents. Hang out with them. Show them love. Nosotros nos pelamos. We go out to dinner. We just have a good time. Bro, so you're with me. I'm not alone. We're not weird in that sense.
Oh, no. I think every parent, especially if you have more than one, ooh, it's like, it's a blessing.
It's a bit
man.
Of a reprieve. Some silent time, bro.
Relajarte un ratito.
Especificamente ahorita con the fucking, you know, we're still in a pandemic. You know, people are wild right now. Like right here at the brewery and at the bar and anywhere we go, people are wild. Motherfuckers don't care that, you know, but we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So there's still certain things that we have to like, you know, be cautious of. But it's like, we've been with our kids 24/7 since this whole thing has started.
Exactly.
So anytime my parents or my suegros say, hey, mándenos los niños. My father, say no more. Stop. We're on our way. You'll give them a bath? Yeah, perfect. We're on our way.
No, dude. Well, I mean, yeah, since you're talking about that, but I'll bring it back to what I was going to say about the band. So we got to basically listen to a music, and it's weird because it's like, oh, de nuestra música de nuestros tiempos. And it was like fucking Paramore and Blink-182, like pop punk, right?
Light punk.
Light punk.
A light lager version of punk.
and And so we threw on that video, and I think that's when I posted it, because it was like, oh man. And my wife was on that video. She was my girlfriend at the time, but she's like the main girl on it. Yeah, look it up. The Haven, Ordeal of Mind, Sam.
That eight. Smooth plug.
Drop it real quick. Nobody makes money off that shit no more. Everybody went did their own thing. The guitarist work is like is an Imagineer at Disneyland now. The bassist is the guy that replaced me is like a firefighter. And another guy works for Apple. Like everybody, you know,
there comes a time in the lifespan of a band where it's shit or get off the pot time. Okay. But we need el tiempo. Like I was 25 and it's like, what are we doing? Are we going to keep going with this? Am I going to be the guy that's going to be on tour, going up and down, living from like hotel to hotel or living in a van and whatever? It's like, is that our future? Is that what we're going to do? Or like, what's the goal? And at 25, I said, nah, I remember doing our last show. We dipped out. Yeah, valió verga.
Right around that time, es lo mismo conmigo. Right around 20, well, I was like,
a ver, ¿cómo se llamaba el grupo?
The Haven.
Haven?
Yeah.
Where can I find you?
Oh, nowhere.
Nowhere. Awesome, bro.
It's nowhere. Let's
see, I'm trying to find a song so I can play The Haven, but.
No, I mean, you would have to look it up on like YouTube. But
what's the name of the song that you, the video?
Ordeal of Mind.
Calmate, pinche llorón.
I didn't write the lyrics.
What did you play in the band?
Well, I played bass for a while. Then I was telling you, like, I got replaced later on por lo mismo, because it got to an age where I was like, what am I doing? What am I going to do? Like, I need to start, you know, making some money porque this ain't paying the bills.
It will never pay the bills,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, aparte, I was in love in ese tiempo.
No, but let me tell you about love, bro.
Y dije, no, yeah, and you know.
I found you on Napster.
No chingues.
Yeah, it says Ordeal of Mind, Haven.
Does it look like a circus cover on the front?
Shit, now I got to download fucking thing. I hate you.
It looks like a cover. Hey, so shout out to, actually, man. Shout out to Tino from, he's now in a band called Of Mice and Men.
Okay, I know that
those
name of the band.
Those guys are touring everywhere. Go to Hot Topic. I think this was, you know, his shirts, their shirts and shit.
Do you regret stopping playing knowing now that it could have progressed to something bigger and better?
You know, yes, because The Haven was really talented. Like the group of guys was super good. But I think you have to have everybody going in the same direction. And I don't think that
but it's like, no, I mean, and I feel like anything that's going to be successful has to have that mentality. Everybody's got to be on the same boat and everybody's got to be paddling in the same direction. Yeah. Cause if not, you're just going to be swimming in circles, bro, to going nowhere ultimately. And I feel like that's where bands that make it and bands like ours, that just kind of flutter around and get some sort of notoriety locally, but ultimately just die locally. Cause you got to have that ambition from within. And that's why I think like bands that stick around and are older, those are the ones that do it because you got to pay your dues, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bro, I can't find you. So, fuck, no, we're going to have to get...
Dude, we're super underground.
Man. We're gonna put it on the Patreon para castigar a los Patreons. A los Patreons vamos a castigar, canijo. You're going to get to listen to Jerry and his band, The Haven, Ordeal of Mind.
Yeah, we recorded that video at Soma, man. Somehow we got into Soma.
Which Soma?
The new one.
Okay, the one by Kobe's.
Yeah, they got us into the side stage and they gave it to us on an empty day. And we just went in and recorded this video and recorded all over San Diego too. It was fun, man. It was a fun time. I miss it. I miss music, but I don't know. If I find a band that is like group of people like me that have kids that want to kind of just do it for fun, I probably would do it.
Yeah, I mean,
if you ever put Three Piece Candle together and you need a clarinet player, let me know.
Let me tell you nothing, my little wind instrument player of mine. the guy that's the singer of the band just recently like came back resurfaced and was like, hey, bro, let's get this shit back together. I set us up on Spotify. I set up us on Apple and on Instagram. All our music is on again. I said, what? He's like, yeah, bro, we're back. I said, take it easy, my guy.
Take it easy, my guy.
I mean, we have, like you said, we have these kids, there's responsibilities, but I'm down, bro. Tell me, I ordered a bunch of shit for here for the studio so I can start like building a little like home recording studio down here.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm fucking going to get down. But I feel like any project right now that I get involved with, the people that I get involved with have to be of that that priority mindset where it's like, we're family first, you know, I got kids, I have a wife, we have businesses, we have things to do.
Yeah.
That this hobby, ultimately, it ranks super low on the list of priorities. Yeah. But if there's time, hell yeah, I want to do it. I mean, that would be awesome.
You of all people, bro, you ain't got no time for nothing.
We make time.
That's right.
Wifey and the kids are out of town. So right now they're out of town like for another week and a half, but along. So I get to do all the little projects that I started and kind of like, okay, I'll get back to you. I'm getting back to all them little motherfuckers right now and getting it done and sleeping and smoking weed. So I get to relax, you know, running around the house in boxers, just smoking joints. I'm like, aquí nadie me va a parar. Aquí nadie me va a decir que no, ya no se puede.
You know, it's like the priorities change, man. When you get to a certain age, you have kids, all of a sudden, you know, before when I was in a band, it was because I love it and I still love it. And I love music. And it was just like my outlet for like my artistic outlet. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, dude, if I get back into it, it's more to show my boys that like they should get into music too, because it's so much fun. Yeah. And you have to set that example, right?
That's bro.
That's the first thing you learn as a parent. You know, it's like whatever you do, if you read books, they're going to read books.
They're going to do it.
If you, you know, do music, they're going to do music. If you like football, they're going to
le va a encantar el fútbol, bro.
That's how it goes, bro. I saw your little mini-me with his Man U jersey. Bro, I was like, es todo.
Es mi sombrita. He's my little shadow, bro. Like everything I do, he wants to be about it.
That's how it is.
Last week before they left, we spend the night in the living room. We call it camping out. So him and I are the only ones. All the two other boys like eventually get up and go back to the room. Pero este güey, el Jackie, se quedó conmigo. And it was like 9 p.m. And he's like, yo, wait, daddy. I'm like, yeah, what's up? I saw a movie with the guy with the boxing glove. Can we watch it? I said, yeah. Rocky. So, yeah. So we put Rocky on. Boom. He's like, we got through the first one. And he was all bien prendido. His eyes were wide awake. He's like, daddy, there's another one. Watch that one. I said, all right, cool. He's 6 years old. And we watched two Rocky movies that night. And then the next morning he woke up and was like, daddy, I saw that there was more. Let's watch those. So we watched Rocky 1, Rocky 2. We watched 3 and 4 the next day. And then the following day we watched 5. So este cuate, he's like, he's on, bro. He's like Sylvester Stallone. He's walking around talking with his arms because there's a bunch of Italians in that movie. And he's like, daddy, why do the guys in the movie talk like this and they're going to do this and they talk like... And he's moving his arms. Flat. I was like, nice. I said, yeah, but it's an Italian trait. It's an Italian trait. So now it's like I'm going back into jujitsu finally now because my inoculation period has come to fruition.
Oh.
So my 15 days post Johnson & Johnson is good to go. So I set up myself up for jujitsu and the kids as well. One thing that comes with our package now, I was talking to Elias Gallegos. He's the owner operator of Alianza Jiu-Jitsu aquí en East Lake, Puerto Chula Vista. He's got like 7 academies. He's like, bro, we have like an affiliation with Azteca Boxing here as well in Bonita. I was like, boom, perfect. At least I can show my kids, you know, not combat. I can show my kids how to hold their hands up, how to stand, how to throw a punch, you know, things that are essential to work on, you know, their motor skills and just kind of how to move, become a little bit more athletic. They're little. And I don't know if I'm capable of teaching that to a little kid. You know, I'm a good learner. I'm a great learner. I'm a horrible teacher to my children. I can't like say, okay, mi cuida, aquí está el balón. Patealo así, pégalo así, tíralo así. I get frustrated. I'm like, oh, damn it. So no, I take them to learn jujitsu from somebody who knows how to teach them. I'm going to take them to learn how to do, how to learn boxing skills from somebody who actually teaches somebody how to learn boxing skills. You know, I'm incapable of those things. And I feel like one of the things about growing up and being a parent is knowing where your weaknesses are. So you don't fucking jump in head first thinking you're el más chilo de todo el mundo. You can do this, you can do that. If I know I can't do it, I'm going to find somebody who can so you can teach my kids.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And right now they're sponges, you know, like age 6.
For better or worse.
Yeah, my boy Diego's about to be 5. My little one, Elias, is going to be 2 here in April.
Nice.
Coming up. So, like, I'm noticing all that. And it's like, man, what can we do get rid of that energy that they have? Porque no chingues, man. They, like, destroy the house. So it's like, how do we transfer that energy into something else? And he's doing courses online right now, my older one, and he's learning soccer.
Good.
Like through the computer, you know? So it's like, I can't really teach you that. Like I can, but let's get somebody that actually can train you. And then I'm also watching and learning what they're doing.
Is this cuate doing the right thing? Is he showing my kid how to hold the bat? He's like, wait a second.
So that teacher actually teaches in like the Academia de los Cholos.
Ah, okay.
So his classes are, he goes to a school in Tijuana.
Okay.
And so he's learning English, Spanish, obviously like
essential
top grade in English right now.
I'm not possible, ¿verdad?
Because that's all we speak at home. But at the same time, he has his Spanish time. And then, you know, we do the best that we can to speak Spanish. Both my wife and I speak it. And so we want to make sure.
It gets a little tricky sometimes, no?
Oh, sí. He has this little like Spanglish thing going on, you know? Los 7 days que trabajé con you, me pagaste 3, me debes more, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's like, it's so important, man. Like for kids to have an outlet and for us as parents to direct them, see what they like. And then, okay, cool. Let's give you everything that you need there. And if they move and you know, decide to do something else. Okay, cool. Let's go. Let's go there.
Yeah.
It's like a, man, it's like a juggling thing, but it's been fun, bro. It's fun.
Do you have anything that you have as a requirement for your kids that they're going to do?
Ooh.
Like, I don't care if you get into soccer. I don't care if you get into baseball. I don't care. This is what you are going to do.
Man. No, I don't think I have any requirements. I'm leaving it up to them. But sabes que, like, it's funny because wife and I had this discussion a lot. And she's a musician. I'm a musician. And so we have instruments all over the house. And you can already tell the little one is, he has a really good beat. And I was telling my wife, hey, start putting the drums near him. Like, let's start getting some instruments around them more and more and more. And like, mi jefe se acaba de comprar una guitarra. He got an electric guitar. So now whenever he goes over there, they have access to instruments there now too. And my dad was the one that taught me how to play. And so it's like, they just surround them with a bunch of different things and see what they gravitate
options.
To. Options. And then let's go from there. But no, do you have something?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Like as soon as like we had kids and they were growing up, we're like, you know what? They're gonna have to do jujitsu. You know, I was like, I want them to learn some sort of martial art. I want them to know respect, and just how to defend and stick up for yourself and stick up for others.
Actually, you know what? I say no, pero a la misma vez sí. Mm-hmm. So my wife, I'm about to drop some crazy information on people.
Behind the scenes with Jerry Jimenez.
I'm a pacifist, bro. I can't fight. I was never in any sort of martial art. My wife was a second degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Hell yeah.
So very likely, she already said like, they're going to be in martial arts.
Good. I mean, you don't want to force. I would never force my kid. Hey, I grew up playing baseball. You're going to play. No quiero jugar. Vas a jugar, cabrón. Y ahí muere.
Sí.
You know, like I'm not going to be that guy. But wifey and I, we talked about it. Like, you know what? Jiu-jitsu is going to teach them a lot about themselves. You know, it's going already when they started going before the pandemic hit us, it's like they were more confident. Like I saw them walking around. They were super shy when they were in there and they've been in there for 2 years now and they were just confident and they just felt comfortable and they were more communicative with their friends, with their peers. You know, I fear for my kids to be those little socially awkward dudes. Like I was like, come on.
Oh yeah.
I was like, sure. I want you to just be out there. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid of anything. No one's going to like judge you. Papa, just be yourself. Like do you, like, I don't want them to be inclusive. I mean, calladitos en la esquina. I want them to be out and be proud. Like you are who you are. Go share that with the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel jujitsu has helped them get to that level. So now that they're getting older, I said, the other only requirement I have is golf. And it's like, jujitsu is going to teach them how to be respectful and defend and protect themselves and people around them. And, you know, just approach things with a different mentality. And golf is going to teach you how to depend on yourself. Because when you're playing golf, there's rules. Obviously, you secondarily learn how to become a gentleman. Because there's rules that you have to abide by. And there's a certain way to dress when you're playing golf. And throw el pelo, pa, pa, pa. It's a very old school, like traditional sport. And there's nobody else to look forward but yourself. You got to look and be yourself and handle it your own way.
You know, I never really thought about golf that way. Mm. Pero es muy, muy cierto. And one of the things too is, you know, people don't realize this, but a lot of business transactions happen during golf.
Yeah.
The more like money savvy people play golf. And so if you're good at it and you somehow end up in a match with somebody that is doing business, all of a sudden they have them on your side.
I've seen it happen.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I've never played golf.
It's awesome. You know, I was fortunate enough to just kind of stumble upon it when I was I had roommates and my roommate played and he's like, yeah, bro, like take my golf clubs. El abuelo. We call him abuelo because he was a fucking old guy. And he was only like 6 or 7 years older than him. But at that time, it's Chivato Ruco. And he gave me a set of clubs and we started going here, National City playing. Wah, 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 whoop de woo. And it grew on me and I loved it. And now 15, 20 years later, dog, I'm still playing it. But now I'm playing it like, we got a golf coach and he's teaching us how to like stand and do it the right way.
It's time consuming, no?
Very. Yeah. It's very time consuming. Wifey doesn't like it, so which is why my next reason for the kids coming in is to allow me to play more golf.
Y sale la verdad.
No cierto, vieja, no cierto, te amo. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I feel like those two components are they're good pillars to build a young person's character. You know, like jiu-jitsu, like I said, it teaches you respect. It teaches you how to listen and how to diffuse situations without being overly physical. But if it's going to get to that, I want you to be prepared to handle yourself and take care of those around you. Golf, it teaches you how to play by the rules, how not to like lash out and be a spoiled sport, how to do it. It's like, no, you put yourself in the situation, you're going to get yourself out of this situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Oof, dude, dropping some knowledge right off the bat.
It's just golf. It's just golf and jiu-jitsu, papito. Come on.
It seems so simple, but mm-hmm. no, es que tiene mucho que ver de like how a kid is brought up and the mentality of the parents and how much the parents put in, you know, the effort to make sure that they go in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's not up to us to tell them what to do, but to direct yeah. them in the right correct. Path.
You know, hold their hand and just let them go and be like, all right, papa, ho. Handle yeah, it, do yeah, it. Yeah. And eventually, you know, fucking light a candle, te persinas un rosario, and hopefully they come out good.
Bro, to bring it back to soccer and the community and supporters, it's exactly the same thing, bro. You have to direct people that you know are already invested and just kind of show them what's possible and show them like, hey, cada quien tiene su su trabajo. And let's just get it done, bro. Let's do this.
And that's why I wanted to bring you in today, brother. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your ventures. You have some killer ventures because they're things that represent, one, our culture, and two, like now, like our community here in San Diego, bro. You're part of the San Diego Soccers. You're part of the Loyal. You run the Local. Tell us a little bit about all of that, Jerry.
So with the Soccers, I do their game day social media, obviously with the, you know, with COVID and todo eso, we haven't had any home games at all. But it's been fun, man. It's something that Craig Elston and myself, have we been doing a podcast. We do the Soccers Overtime.
Yes, sir.
Brought to you by
Three Point Gals.
So we try to, you know, kind of keep people involved and the Soccers have been around for so long that, you know, we want to make sure that people still feel like that they're there and they're involved, especially during this time. So that's been fun. We're doing the podcast.
Isn't that weird though? Like you have to remind people that the Soccers are still here. 14-time champions, bro. The most decorated club in all of Southern California, bro.
But here's the thing that, you know, the priorities change mm-hmm. when the world around you changes. And so a lot of people tend to put, you know, sports off to the side a little bit and care about other things more. And that makes sense, but it's our job to make sure that people say, hey, here's an outlet for you. And with the Soccers right now, terrible season, by the way. It was weird. Like we didn't even know what was going on.
I don't remember a season this bad.
It was
for a San Diego Soccer squad, bro.
It's the worst.
You know? What was the ultimate record before the playoffs? Because we're in the playoffs now.
Ooh, man, I don't even remember, bro. It was like it was definitely a losing record though.
It was a losing record. Ah, cabrón.
Yeah.
I guess I can look that up. Cause right now we're in the playoffs.
Yes.
And we went up. Did they go up to Tacoma to play?
No, for the playoffs, we uh-huh. went to, actually, since that's the thing. So there's not that many arenas that are open. We mm-hmm. went to Ontario to play.
Oh, wow.
The Fury's Toyota Arena. The Fury's home. And we played Tacoma there.
Yeah.
So it was Soccer's Tacoma for a 2-game series, possible mini game in Ontario.
That's crazy.
It was weird.
Because I feel like, one, I grew up watching the San Diego Soccers, bro. I was a big fan, and we would go to the matches, and we'd buy those little orange balls that they sold and threw out. Do you know which ones? And we'd bring them home, and we'd play in the living room or in the hallway. So Tacoma Stars has always been the club that's been around, like the Cleveland Crunch and the, who was the other one? The Dallas. You remember the Cleveland
yeah,
Crunch?
Yeah, dude, they're not around anymore.
No, they're a defunct team, but
they might bring them back though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I might low-key be a Cleveland Crunch fan, bro. But yeah, man, I remember like the San Diego Soccers was part of what I grew up and part of my, like, you know, my 80s childhood.
Yeah.
All right, cuéntame los Soccers. What you got?
So 4 wins, 6 losses.
Oh, so it was a very limited season, perdón.
Very limited.
Only 10 games.
So they basically said, you need 10 games to make it into the playoffs. Everybody made it into the playoffs.
Okay.
It was only 7 teams playing. Everybody so
it's a tournament.
Else, everybody else dropped out because of COVID.
COVID-related issues.
So it was
issues.
Only 7 teams that ended up playing. We just had the first round of it. The Soccers have moved on along mm-hmm. with Ontario Fury, who's beast. And then they have the Florida Tropics and the Comets, Kansas City Comets. So, yeah, man, it's a weird, weird season for MASL.
Uh-huh.
But, man, the last couple games, if you're not watching, whew. The other thing is, it used to be free, right? They used to play and make it accessible for people. And this one, I mean, they had to make some sort of money, so they put it on Facebook pay-per-view.
How does that work? How does that work?
So they have, like, a season pass. You can watch all the games, or you can do, like, an a la carte thing where you pay per game if you only want to watch 1 game or 2 games. And then, you know, just go on Facebook on the MASL page and watch them. So there's still a few games if anybody wants to join in. The last two, if you saw the highlights.
I saw the highlights of the 6-5 match, bro. That was
It was like heart pounding till the end. We went into two games. So basically the way they do it is two games, right? One home, one away. And then if one team wins each one, then they go into like a 15-minute mini game at the end of the second.
What?
So the soccer's won the first one. Same thing. It went into overtime. It was 5-5. And then, you know, Christian Gutierrez comes through, scores the winner 6-5. Okay, we'll go into the next one. Otra vez, we're about like 50 seconds out, 4-5, and they score.
Yeah.
And
back to overtime.
Christian Gutierrez again comes in, scores a goal, makes it 6-5. So now we move on and we play Florida Tropics, who, dude, their record, they're going to be tough to beat. They were top and they were 10 wins, 3 losses.
So when does this start?
Yeah, this is going to start now, like this coming week.
What do you normally day? And we win only on Facebook Live is where we can watch it, pay-per-view.
Yeah, so by the time this comes out, it might not be, it might be the like actual like final, but this Thursday.
Okay, cool. We'll make it a point to release it before Thursday for you only, Mr. Jerry Jimenez. So yeah, man, I mean, the Sockers are the Sockers. They are the apple of the eye of all things San Diego until, you know, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis and those guys hit the field. I feel like, like you said earlier, we needed a distraction and it's their job to bring it. I feel sports has been a very welcome distraction right now, especially sound. You know, they're back and they're going to start playing.
Yeah.
The Loyal is coming back, dog.
That's right.
When does that start? And what's your affiliation with them?
So with the Locals, I'm the communications director, mm-hmm. which basically means I do the social media posts. And then we're working right now on doing some more interactive stuff, like on YouTube and things like that. I do like the media passes and all that stuff, which right now I'm not really doing very much of because they're not allowing any media to any of the games. But they've had a few preseason games.
So nobody can go in and comment and or get like any footage of what's going on right now behind the scenes with the Loyal?
Yes. So if you're a member of the Locals, which I recommend you become a member.
Hey, Jerry, how do I become a member of the Locals?
Yeah, head on over to thelocalssg.com. You can sign up on there. There's two options. It's a $10 one, which gives you the regular membership. You get a couple of cool things. And then a $23.50. Which gives you a scarf.
That's the one I just signed up for.
Keychain.
Yeah.
You get a sticker. I think you get the keychain and the sticker too on the $10 one. But there's a couple levels. Basically,
and those scarves are no joke, my friends.
Dude, no,
those scarves are legit.
They're legit. They are legit. They're being made right now. Actually,
are they really nice?
Yeah. And so you get access to that, but also you get some discounts here at 3 Punk L's. You get
a little bit
of a discount. What do we get?
$5 pints, bro, at all times. Yeah. You bring in your card, your keychain, you show it to your beer tender, and they'll be like, oh, hey, we've been waiting for you, Local. Come on down, have a pint, enjoy the match.
And then you also get access to our Discord, which is like our community kind of hub.
Dude, that's big now, huh?
It's big,
man. I know a couple of guys that offer that service. You guys. The Hot Tub podcast con los padres with tu compa el Craig y el John Gennaro, they offer that. And then even us now through Patreon, we have our own little Discord. So, I mean, I feel like that people just want to be involved more.
Yeah.
You know, people have, they want that. Yes. So with you and running the Locals, what can people expect when they join the Discord for your club?
Man, you're getting a lot of insight. So I'm always in there. All of our leadership is always in there. There's a lot of movement right now. We're basically talking about players and, we have some really cool project that we can jump into if you want to, but that we're working along with the club. You get to see firsthand what's happening. You get to see it first before anybody else does. We ask for your input. That's another big thing, is you get to have a voice and say, hey, I don't like that, or oh, I love this, or let's do that. When it comes to not just merch, but like what our tifo is going to look like and what kind of projects we're working on. We're doing a lot right now with Tom, actually, who's, and again, shout out to Tom Phillips.
You Tom Phillips.
Gotta talk about
Patreoner. Es un Patreoner, el vato.
Yeah, dude. So he deserves a little bit more of a shout out, but he's our director of philanthropy.
Okay.
And we're doing more work within the community.
Now you're talking my language.
Which is what we want to do. That's why we started the Locals. I think part of being a part of a soccer supporter group is that it's not just about being in the stands and screaming and waving flags. those locos tomando cervezas.
It's not about that?
That's part of it. Okay, perdón. That's part of it.
Ooh, I almost asked for a refund, bro.
But it's the big part of it is being a part of your community and giving back to it and really doing something with our time that serves others, right? So I'm excited, man, because right now Tom is working really, really hard on a lot of projects. I know the club is working on a lot of things too, to reach out to South Bay specifically.
We're here.
Yeah.
Don't ignore us. You know this. I feel like the South Bay is always often ignored and just overlooked when it comes to certain things in San Diego. So it's like, guys, we're like the second largest city in the county of San Diego. And there's a lot of us down here. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of us down here.
And that's what we heard a lot of people saying, like, hey, ¿qué onda? Why isn't the club reaching out to the South Bay? Why aren't they coming out here? And I think that that was always part of the plan, but what ended up happening is just COVID changed everything. So this year is going to be a little different. You're going to start seeing the club around town a lot more.
That's awesome. Yeah. I feel like that's the toughest part of having a club that's a growing club like the Loyal or a potential MLS club coming down here is the Cholos are the only presence that we have down here in the South Bay. You know, they actually do come up here and do meet and greets y todo el pelo. So it's like, oh, yo soporto los Cholos, dog. That's my squad, you know? Oh, but we're from San Diego. We're like, all right, then show me. And the Loyal signing up with Stone is a big, like, okay, cool. You know, like you're working with a local brand, a local brewery. And what is your affiliation with Loyal? Like, how do you guys have like a liaison, somebody that you go back and forth with and be like, hey guys, this is what we're doing. How can you guys spread the word with the supporter group?
Yeah, we don't have anybody like specific. We have a couple of guys that we talk to, you know, that are very much involved in what we're doing too. So we keep them up to date. We just kind of tell them what we're doing. We're very independent. And if we don't feel like we have to tell them, like it's not going to affect them, then we don't tell them. We do our own thing. If we feel like it can negatively impact them, if they feel like they can negatively impact them, then we just communicate that with them and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. Want to let you know. It's not like asking for permission. It's more just out of respect to have that relationship with the club. You know, at the end of the day, all of those guys get paid. We don't. Mm-hmm. So we're independent, man. We're as punk as we can possibly try to be. But with like Jesse Beltran, who's doing their director of marketing, you know, he has a right mentality, man. Those guys are doing some really good stuff. And Ricardo Campos, those two dudes we talk to on a daily just to kind of see, hey, what are you guys doing? What do you need from us? And then we ask them for things as well. You know, the one really cool thing that just came out today actually was like Loyal.
Breaking news.
Yeah, they're starting to, like I said, get more involved with the community. And they're donating a bunch of gear. They're donating some balls and a whole bunch of other things to the immigrant kids that are staying over at the convention center. I don't know if you saw
yes,
that.
Sir.
So there's a lot of families that are looking, you know, to stay here basically. And for now they're being all kind of housed in
the convention center, man. Yeah.
Thanks to, you know, the efforts of the city and Todd Gloria. And so right now the club is looking at lending a hand there and doing more than they can. They also have this affiliation with the Chicano Federation and they're very getting involved there too. And they're going to be doing some projects there that I don't think it's been announced yet. We can't really talk about too much, but there's some really neat things that are not just for marketing the club. And they're not, I don't think they're really promoting a lot of things that they've been doing. They're just doing it.
Yeah.
And they said like, we don't want the wrong optics. Like we actually want, we're here to stay.
Yeah, the hearts and minds. Once you win that of the community, it's like everything else just falls into place. It'd be smart too, though, to kind of leak what they're doing for themselves so people can pay attention. Because with everything going on in the world, bro, with too many things, all of these good deeds, they do kind of like get lost in the shuffle.
For sure.
And then you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know these guys were doing it. You know, so you having an asset like you guys, you know, the locals, to be helping out the Loyal, a young club in this big city that's been starving for soccer, you know, like anytime you see the ratings for a match, a U.S. national team match, you were always like in the top three for ratings as it relates to San Diego. Like, oh man, you guys are, it's like Ohio, somewhere in Ohio and somewhere in Florida. And then it's like us, you know,
yeah.
It's like, we're always there and we don't have an MLS team. So yeah. Now that we have like the USL team, con el pinche el Landon, it just seems like they're doing the right thing. They know what they're doing. They know what buttons to push. They know what people to reach out to. And hopefully they keep growing it with partnerships like you guys, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we're going to be very much involved with that. And again, with the help of Tom Phillips and everybody in our leadership, and actually just all our members, everybody's all about it. Like, we just want to do the best that we can to support this community that has given us so much. Like, we all love San Diego. San Diego is us. And we want to make sure that as a group, that's the end game, is just to give back as much as possible. With the Chicano Federation thing, I know that they're going to be like doing some planting, painting, that sort of thing. You'll probably see about it. I'm sure they're going to do something. They have some really good social media people over there. So, you know, I expect to see something coming from there, because you're right. They should be putting that out there to say, hey,
yeah, be proud of what you're doing.
Well, and join us and you know, be a part of this yourself. Mm. And that's how you grow the community. Cause it's at the end of the day, soccer is, you know, 90 minutes plus, one day a week, maybe sometimes two. But I mean, the supporter culture is every day,
24/7
every day.
Yeah. Cause as soon as you latch on yourself to a club, whatever sport it is, you listen, you watch, you read anything and everything that comes out, man. I live nowhere near Manchester. You know, we live in Chula Vista, but I know everything about my club, bro. You know, I know what they're doing, what the plan is. Why did they do this? Oh, pinche Ollie. Like, and it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's
damn
like,
you Gunner.
Yeah, pinche Gunner, valiendo Winnie. But it's like, I know that that's my squad,
yeah.
You know, and I have the gear, I have the jerseys, I have everything. And I'm like, it's game day. So that's when you rock it. That's when you wear it, you know?
Well, here's the thing, bro. Like, it gives you a sense of pride, yeah, that you're a part of something. Mm-hmm. Y por qué no? If it's in your own backyard, bro, support it. So, and yeah, here's the thing. I would honestly, you know, I would be remiss to not talk about 1904, because they've been around as well. And we just had like the first, they're calling it the State Clásico, mm-hmm, right? between San Diego and San Diego. So it was 1904 FC, who's part of NISA, which is a totally separate league, and then San Diego Loyal.
But operated by some big wigs, some heavy hitters, bro. Wigs. Some big, big heavy hitters.
I mean, have you heard of Eden Hazard?
I have heard of Hazard. I have heard of him. I mean, he's in Real Madrid, Papito.
Yeah.
Never Chelsea.
There's some big names, mm-hmm, that are a part of this, man. So, you know, there's so much going on right now in San Diego. If you are a fan of the sport, or even if you're not, and you're like, you know, I may not watch the sport, but I want to be a part of something.
This is a great time to jump in.
Oh,
this is a great, because what does that tell you when people like high priority people, investors like Eden Hazard or like a pinchy Landon Donovan, bro, they're directing their attention to San Diego, to starting up a club. It's not MLS yet, but you got to plant a seed and you got to water it and grow it. That's what they're doing with the respective leagues, with the, you know, the USL and the 1904 FC. Like, that's what they're doing. They see potential with growing that market here with us.
Yeah.
So like us, we should show them that, hey, you did the right thing. You chose the right city. We're going to come out and support you. And that's where groups like you guys, and you guys aren't the only supporter group. I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of supporter groups in San Diego for a 1904 FC and for the Loyal.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for segueing into that, because like, again, we need to talk about those other groups. There's a few for 1904. I think the Outsiders, there's a couple of other ones, and I'm sorry if I forget you, but for us also, we have Los Chavos
de Chavos Loyal. De Loyal, bro. That's like the greatest name. I like. So I see it show up on my Twitter feed. I'm like, ah, pinche Chavos de Loyal. And I'm going to buy something from you.
The art is cool as hell. So yeah, those guys are doing good things. I know this year they have some pretty big plans, and you know, we have a really good relationship with those guys.
That's awesome.
Too. And I've told them.
Are they more Spanish based or what?
Yeah, so
like, más bilingüe, they do everything more in Spanish.
Yeah. There's gonna be more like canticos in español. There's gonna be more of like the barra style, you know, from Latin America, and they're gonna bring their flavor, man. And I've asked them too. I was like, I want to join you guys and do some stuff with you guys too.
Damn, can you cheat on the locals by doing that?
That's not cheating, man. Yeah, we're all supporting the same club. All
right, God, I don't know, man. All right. Be like, because what's your position with the locals?
Because I'm a director. But mm-hmm.
Hey, director over there moonlighting with the chows. Dog, what's going on?
No, I think at the end of the day, it's about growing and helping each other, man. And I will always be a local. But when it comes to Chavos, like, those guys are doing really good things. I'm excited. I'm just excited to see it, man. I'm excited to see the growth that's happening in San Diego just in general.
When does the Loyal season kick off?
We are kicking off, so officially it's going to be like late April, early May.
Okay.
When things are really going to start kicking off. I think our first match was actually announced recently. We're going to be playing three like opening matches. So okay. It's going to be our home matches. So it's going to be the first one against Phoenix Rising. Mm-hmm. In Phoenix, they have a new stadium.
Rivalry.
I hate those guys, bro. Oh my God. Those guys are annoying.
Yeah. More their social media presence.
Yeah, but no.
Are they anything like Padres Twitter? Is there like a Phoenix Rising Twitter?
I don't think anybody's as bad as Padres Twitter. Yeah,
those guys get toxic.
Relentless.
I love watching it though. I love reading it and just watching people get dragged.
You sit down in your underwear.
¿Qué anda pasando aquí?
Con tus palomitas.
See, let's read what's going on. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'll tell you the date right now. I'm just pulling it up because I'm losing it. Pero, and then we play at home until May.
Okay.
At home is Torero Stadium. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool stadium, man. Cool stadium to play for, it fits our crowd perfectly as we're growing, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing too, that I don't think that they're doing it right. Like you said, they want to kind of grow it first, see where it goes. Obviously we have a lot of fans here. I think it's just a matter of getting the word out enough to where people are like, all right, this is like a thing that's happening and I want to be a part of it. And then they can invest into something bigger and move into a bigger stadium. Build their own stadium. I don't know.
Eventually. Yeah. Eventually. I mean, the Sockers are doing it. Why can't an outdoor team like the Loyal do it? They got a lot of big money behind them. Like, you got to assume, to start a team in the USL, you got to have nice financial backing.
I would assume. Yeah. And so April 30th.
April 30th. So at that time, April 30th, they're flirting with the idea of going into the orange tier in the next week or so. That being the case, it opens up possibility to 33% capacity. Will there be season tickets? I'm a little out of the loop right now with the Loyal. Are they offering season tickets already, packages for the season?
Absolutely. So for us, if you were a member already in 2020.
Hey, I'm a member since 2020.
Then your tickets immediately like roll over to this season. And then if you want to become a member, they do have some tickets available. Your best chance to get into the stadium is going to be to be a season ticket member.
Okay. And the packages aren't ridiculously overpriced or anything. They're actually they're affordable.
Affordable. We fought them a little bit on the supporter side of things, but you have to also take into consideration that, you can look around and say like, oh yeah, Charlotte or whatever has cheaper tickets, or LA has cheaper tickets, but you also have to look at what it costs for them to actually be there. We're renting right now. So there's that on top of, other costs to run everything. So they showed us numbers and we're like, okay, that makes sense. Whatever.
Is that what we thought? And you're like, all right.
It's still affordable. It's still very, very affordable if you want to go watch professional soccer. And this team right now, man, it's looking good. So
there's some recognizable names on there now. It's like, I was kind of just going through the roster. I was like, all right, I'm down.
Yeah.
Favorite player?
Oh, I don't have a favorite player.
Shut up, bro.
Not yet.
Most promising player?
Ooh, Nicky Jackson.
That's a guy.
Okay, I'll give you a favorite player because it just popped into my mind. I was like, sí, pendejo, si tienes uno. It has to be our local boy.
I was going to say, if you didn't choose Sal Cizo, I was going to be like, all right.
Oh, well, Sal Cizo, yeah, okay.
Because for me, that's favorite.
That's not who I was thinking, though.
I was like, he's local boy. I'm going with him.
Alejandro Guido.
Oh, that's right.
Alejandro Guido.
Completely overlooked.
Our number 10. Mm-hmm. Cholos went to LAFC, man, and is here now and is
taking advantage of the time while he's here.
He's going to be solid, man.
He won't be here, but I honestly, you see certain names that pop up on the USL roster. He's like, oh, I don't think that guy's going to be there long. Better take advantage of him. They're probably going to call him back on loan soon.
It's a tough one, pero he's not on loan with us.
He's a legit player now on the team. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Until he excels and somebody picks him. Somebody takes them. Hey, we'll offer you this much money. We'll pay your rent at Torero Stadium for the next two seasons. What is it? They'll be like, yeah, there you go.
That's okay, man. If you pay attention to like U.S. men's, soccer.
The team that didn't qualify for the Olympics.
Oh, golly. If you want to talk about that, too, get fail. But we have some San Diegans in like national teams now.
Yes, sir.
We have San Diegans playing, across the pond. So it's nice to see San Diego players,
bro,
and
then they got to the San Diego, the South Bay, bro. Chula Vista as a whole has always been a hotbed for soccer. For football growing up, it was like the clubs were always here. The Surf Cup, como se llama, the Hotspurs was a great club that played down here. The Rebels, obviamente, Chula Vista United, Las Águilas, like it was always like a hotbed for teams, those Rangers. And, you know, I was part of that culture and I loved it, bro. I love playing. I love going and traveling to the little towns of play against their club team. And it was the best. I look forward to my kids, if that's what they want to do, to jumping in on that. But now, fast forward, I feel like it's like been pumped with steroids or something. Cause you got dudes that are actually playing overseas, like you're saying. You got guys playing next to Ronaldo, bro. You got guys playing that are like, oh my God, these are US national players that are playing with top tier talent in the world.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a soccer fan.
So why didn't we make the Olympics?
Oh,
don't go giving me like, oh, it's a great time to be this. If it's so great, why aren't we in the Olympics?
That was,
why didn't we make the World Cup, the last World Cup?
I wish I had an answer, man.
Puras pinches fallas con este equipo ahorita, doggy.
Sabes que I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Like it's in my head, I'm still like, what happened?
What the fuck happened, dog?
What happened? Why are we not? I mean, Honduras is a great team, bro. Give it to them.
Yeah, but I feel like we're a great team. You know, I feel like I feel like they overlook certain things.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I've seen like
coach after coach after coach come in, come out, and it's like,
yeah.
The allure of being a national player, I don't think is there anymore. I think the allure is now, I got to get overseas. You know, I got to go play over here. I got to go get out of here. And I feel like the national team has become like an afterthought, which it shouldn't. Growing up, watching legit players, like that was the ultimate goal, bro. The ultimate goal was to be a USMNT player, titular, starting 11. You wanted to be on that squad to be representing your country. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I just don't see that. I don't see the passion because the team hasn't really been involved in big games where it's like, now we did it. We got over the hump, you know?
Yeah.
Es puras pinches fallas, dog.
Yeah, man, I don't like it.
Well, tell me, fool. You give me some insight. You got some shit to say. I sense it.
No. It's frustrating, man, because, you know, we should be, like you said, yeah, we're a good team. We should be in the Olympics. There's no reason. This is the third time we miss out on the Olympics in a row.
In a row, bro.
No chingues. Like, what are we doing? I feel like fucking Taylor Twoman. We're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We blow so much smoke saying that, you know, our youth academies are, it's never been this good. This is the greatest time to be like a young academy player growing up through the system, blah, blah, blah. Why? We've missed the Olympics, which usually is what, under 23 is usually what they do for Olympics, or what are they? Yeah. So it's like, these are the shining diamonds of our young squads, you know? Like, and then that doesn't give me much confidence looking forward to next summer, or this summer rather, for like qualifiers for World Cup. I'm like, God damn it. There's not much to look forward to if our young players, cause you need young players.
Yeah.
You know, we got to have our veterans, but you need your young players there to push it forward.
You know, like one of the things is, and I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for the team either. And that's the tough part, but there's a few players that could have made it into that Olympic squad that were taken into the top team to do friendlies instead. And I think it was more like, you know, their clubs, again, in Europe, they didn't want to release them for the Olympic team. I don't know if that's the case, but there was a lot of people missing in that squad that could have been there to help that weren't there.
So you're telling me that as soon as...
See, but it sounds like an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. So you're telling me as soon as five players don't make the Olympic squad, our Olympic team is just horrible? We don't have the roster to fill?
No, it shouldn't be like that at all.
Right? That's why it bums me out. You know, like if they're a country full of resources, we're a country full of trainers, head coaches, director técnicos that come from overseas, all over the world, bro, to come teach our players how to elevate their game. And we still can't get it. That for me, that always bums me out.
Here's the thing. This podcast is called Emo Brown. I'm about to go emo.
Go ahead, Tommy. Go ahead.
No, I already am, bro.
I'm
going to need a beer refill, bro. Here you go. I'm just...
I got you.
Like, the thing is...
It appears that our friends from Society Brewing stopped by this week. Gracias, Fernando Arce. Another Patreoner came through and dropped off the Pupil. He dropped off a bunch of beers, but for me, the Pupil is the one. Always. My favorite beer in all of San Diego.
Thank you, guys.
Ale, gracias. Damn, that took a while, bro. You okay? Should have done it with your toe. You should have done it with your toe.
Me acabo de cortar las uñas.
Ah, vato.
Me puse bien guapo para ti.
Hey, Wapo, you always are, bro. You look amazing. And I want to actually talk to you about some a comment that you made online. And I don't know if it was you. After you make your statement about how horrible our team is right now.
No, I'm not going to make any, I'm not making any statements on behalf of anybody other than myself. And I'm just going to say the U.S. men's national team in general just makes me very emo.
It makes us sad. You know, I grew up, that was my team. And okay, that's what I was going to lead you to. I don't know if it was you who posted this. Somebody in the local soccer Twitter world here posted something like, hey, I root for the national team because I'm from here. But I have parents that are Mexican and root for El Tri. You know, I don't know if that was you, but me growing up, El Tri, boom. I can name you todos los titulares, todos en la banca, who's coming up, who they should drop and who they should bring up. Like, that was my shit. My team was El Tri. I got older and I always loved the Tri. They're still my team. To this day, like, El Tri and U.S. national team, you know, but the U.S. national team consistently lets me down, bro. And I still follow them and I still watch. And I feel like I'm a little more harsh with these guys because I expect a lot more. Con el Tri, it's like, that's my squad, bro. As soon as the jerseys come out, I'm going to get that jersey. As soon as the hat comes out, that's my hat. Same thing with the U.S. national team, but I feel like we need that little, nos falta a little bit more, just to get us to the top. And it bugs me. There would be nothing better in this world. And I'm going to share a video like on our little Instagram of like what World Cup looks like here in Chula Vista on 3rd Avenue, you know, like at the brewery when we had the World Cup in 2018, bro. Mm-hmm. Cuando jugó México contra South Korea, cuando jugó México contra Sweden, you know, México contra Alemania. Like it was just banging, it was bumping, it was everything. And I was like, okay, now imagine how that shit would have been if it was the U.S. national team playing in the World Cup, because the qualifiers leading up to the World Cup here at the brewery, bro, on 3rd Avenue. Like, we're not like a central hub of anything futbolero, but people know that we play all the matches. People know that we come and we open up early. We're going to have the games for you. For national team, for U.S. national team, it would get busy.
Yeah.
I remember the heartbreaking match against I think I forgot. Was it against Jamaica or was it against Trinidad and Tobago?
I feel like it was Trinidad.
Because we always have heartbreakers there, bro. And we lost that game. And I remember I put money down. I was like, there's no way we're going to lose this match to get us into the qualifier. Tire lana. And I remember coming into the brewery all excited. I'm like, yeah, I got my scarf on. I'm rocking. And we lost, bro. And at that moment, I was like, I was extremely butthurt. I was like, why is it that this squad continues to let me down? You know, what do we need? We've gone through managers. We have the talent. Why? Because our talent is going overseas to play at Bayern Munich, at Real Madrid. You know, we've got guys in the EPL playing. You know, it's like, yeah. What's going on?
It was me, by the way.
Was it you? I remember I saw that. And I don't know if there was like some pushback or some shit that came back. Like, oh, why are you? I want to say, or maybe that was just my inner emo creating the scenario.
No. I think this is...
No se me pongan nervioso, viejo. No se me pongan nervioso.
No. It makes me like... And I don't want to get emotional, but like literally every single time U.S. plays Mexico, I get somebody giving me shit. ¿Por qué no estás apoyando a México? Mm-hmm. Esa es tu tierra, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, I'm tired of explaining myself. And I will always support Mexico because that is my culture. That is my parents' culture. But they brought me here for a reason. My parents moved here because they wanted me to be American. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm with you, dude. It's heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. But you know, especially in football, that's what it is, man. Yeah. It's the beautiful game for a reason because it's passion, it's heart. You have those heartbreaks more times than you want sometimes.
The wins are epic, but the losses are gut-wrenching, bro. Te saca el aire, dog.
But that's what holds you in because now you feel like, you know what? I cried along with my team. Now I'm really in. Now I'm really a part of it. But for me, man, it was very easy in the beginning to make the decision that I was going to support the men's national team here in the U.S. First and foremost, mm-hmm. because I saw that there was a need to grow the sport here. And for me, I want to, you know, grow it as much as possible. I think you, hopefully if you're listening to this, you hear it in my voice. Like, I'm passionate about the sport. I'm passionate about the people that are a part of it, the culture, the supporters, everybody that is there. It's not just a sport at the end of the day. It's something that you do every single day. And when it came to my national team, I was born here. Like, this is my national team. And, you know, I will forever, I see Mexico winning. I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. Awesome. When they,
are you afraid to show it or something?
No, I was going
to
say, I was
like, yes, they won.
No, absolutely not. And I have, you know, I have my Mexico jersey.
Uh-huh.
I have my US jersey. At the end of the day, it's if US is playing Mexico, who do you choose? Like, that's always been the question for people against me.
Mexico.
Like, oh, who are you going to support?
For me.
Well, I support the US.
Yeah.
And so, but it's more because I want the sport to grow. And if you're not supporting it, if you're not backing your team, there's very, very little chance that it's ever going to get any better. And I really think that the US will eventually, can eventually be a powerhouse and can really do big things. But
all the resources, bro.
How are they going to do that if they don't have people that represent them, supporting them? And what I mean by representing them is not the Caucasians, but the other people, the people of color, the people that are, you know, really born here now, that...
Because the US ain't no white people, bro.
No.
You know, as much as you try to look...
It's all of us. But if you look at...
Sometimes I struggle to find a white person here in Chula Vista. I'm like, where? Ah, okay, there you go. Yeah.
And I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but when you look at like the American Outlaws, you see a lot of white people. You see a lot of white dudes, a lot of you know... You see very little. You do see some people of color, but I also want to make sure that, you know, we're represented and that we feel comfortable to support our squad in the country that we're born in. Like, what's so wrong about supporting your country?
Not a damn thing.
But here's the thing is I get a lot of shit. And so that's where that post came from.
Okay.
Because I'm out there.
Is that why you get shit?
Probably.
Do you get it from your family too? Or is this just...
No, family. No, my family is super supportive. And my mom and dad will wear their US jerseys when they're... You know, when they're not playing Mexico.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's the same thing. But like when it comes to family, I think they get it. And my closer friends understand it too. And they don't give me a lot of hard time. But usually like on social media, I'll get text messages. I'll get direct messages of like, how dare you? You're a piece of shit. Like it's bad, dude. Like I'm just like,
why?
Bro, I don't, because I'm outwardly brown.
Uh-huh.
And supporting the US.
And we're getting cyberbullied like Demi Lovato, bro. Look at you.
Bro, I don't know, man. But it gets to me because I'm so passionate about it.
Bro.
I'm so passionate about it that it hurts, bro. When somebody that's of like Mexican descent that goes, how dare you support the US men's national team? Like, why aren't you supporting Mexico? We need your support. And I'm like, the US needs my support a little bit more, bro. And also, I'm an American.
And ultimately, it's a sport fueled by culture and passion, bro.
But Mexicans are prideful as fuck, bro. Oh, you know that.
Hello, yeah.
So that's where that comes in.
That's why when it's a national team against El Tri, I always rock El Tri. El Tri, because that's me. I grew up watching these teams. You know, I grew up watching Luis Hermosillo, Luis Garcia, El Sague, El Nacho Ambriz. You know, like, bro, like, this is my team. You know, El Brody Campos, El Conejo. Like, those were all my squad that I grew up watching, you know?
Yeah.
And I still know the players now, but, you know, it's something's a little bit more nostalgic and romantic, like romanticized when you're younger. And you grow up watching these teams, bro. El Matador, you know, and you just saw, you know, that was my squad. I had all of those jerseys. Like, that was the team. I collected soccer cards, bro, for trades and shit, you know?
Bro.
And then I saw the U.S. men's national team come out when I was little, and they were barely making their mark. It was like the 94 World Cup, bro. You know, cuando estaba aquí en el Estados Unidos, and they were up at the Rose Bowl. And they made some noise. They did some damage, ultimately, you know. We did what the U.S. national team does, and we just don't get over that last hump. But I was like, fuck, I like this squad and I'm from here. Okay, I got to start paying more attention. So that's when I made a conscious effort in that 1994 team to like, okay, Eric Winalda, Tony Mayola, all right, mm-hmm. Alexi Lalas. These are guys, you know, I can follow these guys. And you just start watching MLS and kind of the MLS being birthed here, that was necessity, bro. Because you couldn't not have a legit like major league soccer league or presence in the U.S. and want to grow this sport. It's come a long way. Yeah. I love watching it.
Yeah.
But I love watching MLS a little bit more than watching Liga MX right now, unless it's a legit game. Like, I can get lost in watching a nice little MLS match. I can watch whatever, Columbus Crew against DC United, and be like, all right, cool, this is awesome. I can't always do that right now with Liga MX matches.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it just comes back to what my goal is. And I didn't realize that this was like a thing for me. It was like subconscious, where I just want to grow the sport here because I want it to be as good as it can be so that it can compete against mm-hmm. Mexico and against the Liga MX. And I mean, you know me, man. I grew up a Chivas Guadalajara fan. And mm-hmm. and all those people that you just named right now, I grew up watching them because that's exactly what my dad watched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like we would skip out on church on Sundays to watch these.
This was church,
play.
Bro.
It was, yeah,
it was church.
My dad would be like, yo no voy a la iglesia. And I'm like, yo tampoco, man.
Me duele el estómago.
Sorry. Like, vamos a la Monte Carmelo. I'm like, no. Chivas America ahora. No.
Like, I remember being given a hard time by family members for Padre Dodger affiliation, bro.
Oh, really?
Because I was a hardcore Padres fan from day one, you know, like from day one. There's never been a day in my life I have not been a Padres fan. I've always been a Padres fan.
Yeah.
And everybody else in my family, like all Mexican families that live in San Diego, are Dodger fans. I don't get it. You know, like the majority of people that in my family, todos los primos, they're Dodger, Laker, Raider fans. I'm like, no. Mames, way. Like, come on, guy. Like, who are you guys? You're from National City. Like, you're from Chula Vista. You're from San Isidro. How are you a Dodger fan? And then, you know, oh, que Fernando Valenzuela. I said, okay, cool. I get it. Awesome. But we're from San Diego and I rep my, you know, I'm loyal to this soil. My grandparents, me, Nana, I remember watching a Padre Dodger game, and it was a shitty era for the Padres, as most of the eras have been until now. But before, yeah. I remember it was Jack Clark playing first base, bro. And, playing the Dodgers and the Dodgers are winning. And I remember them just like busting my canicas, bro. And I was little. I was like 8 or 9 years old. And they were just giving me a hard fucking time.
It makes you want to be more of a fan.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was like, and they made me cry. And they said, ¿saben qué? No me gusta que me hagan burla porque yo soy Padre fan. And I remember I started crying, bro. And just
that, like, was my tweet, bro, right there. That's how I felt. Like, oh.
Yeah. I just, me dio coraje, bro. I was like, this is my squad. And I remember, like, I never said shit, but at that moment I took my stand. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm a Padre fan. I support this losing franchise. I support this franchise that's given me nothing for, like, my existence, you know, until 1998. Because, I mean, 1984, I was little. I was, like, 3 years old. 4 years old. There was nothing. I didn't have a say in it. I have pictures of me in Padres outfits during that World Series. But, like, I watched the 98 team, you know? I've watched every other shitty team from 84 to 98, from 98 to last year. You know, like, we've had two of those seasons where it's been epic, and everything else in between has just been mediocrity. And I'm like, I'm going to live and die with my team. So when somebody like in the family would come at me, I was like, we're going in, bro. We're going to handle this. Elevate that with the national, like your culture, your ethnicity,
yeah.
What country you support.
Yep.
It's just next level, bro. There's wars that are fucking started over shit like that. You know, like, things pop off quickly when it's a national team.
I have an uncle. Tengo un tío that...
¿No más uno, güey?
Well, actually, you know what? He's not even my tío anymore because we cut him off.
Damn.
He started supporting America. And I was
disassociate.
Like,
puta que le vaya a America.
Exactly. And we're like, no, I don't talk to you anymore. No, like, it gets intense, man. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that was... a perfect example, what you just said right now, that's where my tweet came from. Like, from that point where I was like, ¿sabes qué?
Yeah.
This is who I'm supporting, and either you're okay with it or you're not.
Yeah.
And that's,
I'm not seeking your approval.
I don't give a fuck if you think it's okay or not, you know? And I think first of all, I respect and I would want to receive that respect back for anybody to support whatever fucking team mm-hmm. you want to support, first and foremost. And like, everybody has a way of looking at sports differently. Some people take it a little bit too seriously. And then there's some people like us that are just passionate about it, man, and that really just want our teams to do well, and also want the culture and the people around us and in the community that we grew up in to enjoy it and have a good time, and for it to grow and be better and have a winning season. You know, that's all we want. And especially during this time of, you know, of COVID, I think this is a really big thing for a lot of people that makes them feel part of something. Even though they haven't been able to get out and do things, you still have sports to watch, hopefully, you know? And for a while we did it. And now that it's back, especially like with the Padres, man, I'm excited to watch the Padres, bro.
And you're not even a Padre fan.
I'm not, but I'm super excited to watch the Padres. And I'll say that, you know, on record, like this team is so exciting. And you know what? My kids are from San Diego. I want them to support a team like this. And I mean, I want them to also go through the hard times because that's what builds you. That's what builds you as a supporter. Because like you just said, you get all this shit from people or people that don't maybe understand where you're coming from on your fandom and they question it. And then you're like, don't question me, bro. This is who I support regardless of what you think or regardless of what you think is okay. And I think that's a beautiful thing, man. I think that's what makes this so much more than just a sport. It makes it an everyday thing and it makes it part of who you are. And then now having it locally to kind of just bring it all back to San Diego Loyal, like, we're lucky to have this team, man. We need to support it to make sure that it survives and it does stay here. I think that it's solid right now. The owner, you know, Andrew Vasiliadis, shout out to him because he's putting his money where his mouth is. And he's San Diego through and through.
Don't talk about it, be about it.
He's San Diego through and through. He's been here forever and he's a San Diegan and he is doing it and showing it. And
he knows there's a void.
And so, you know, we're just lucky to have what we have right now. But also we want to make sure that they know how lucky they are to have us as supporters, right? It's like a mutual relationship. And I'm just excited to be a part of it, man. And to be able to talk about it. You know, I'm always like so excited about anything that has to do with San Diego's, you know, soccer sports. Mm-hmm. I invested myself in it because I just love it. I truly, really love it. I want to build something that my two boys can walk into and be like, yeah, this is ours.
Legacy.
Look at this. This was built by San Diego and this is belongs to us. This is 619-858-760. This is all of us in San Diego County.
También 760, güey. Chale.
I know, dude. I want to be nice, but there's some people in the Loyal that are 760. So.
All right, cool. Perfect. We'll let them in. Jerry, there's no better person that I would want representing our city and helping us like bridge that gap with growing the soccer culture, el fútbol, el juego bonito here in San Diego than you, bro. You are the epitome of all things passion. I mean, I saw a tear in your eye right now when you were talking about, you know, el tri and your hatred for el tri as it relates to the national team. Cálmate. Oh, te van a agarrar en el no internet. Hatred? Te van a agarrar en el internet, viejo. No, but honestly, bro, you are the perfect person for this gig, man. You're a great liaison between club and fandom. And how to like bridge a gap and create that supporters group. Again, where can I be a supporter? How do I join?
Thank you, man. I have to take this opportunity really quick. So if you want to learn a little bit about what it takes to build a supporter group and what we've been doing here, our great, great friend, John Cross, is doing a documentary on the locals from the beginning he was there. The first few episodes are coming out soon. He's on Patreon. Go follow Soccer Shorts.
Soccer Shorts?
Yeah, go and follow them. They're on all social media. Go and look them up on Patreon. It's only $1 and you can start watching some of the videos already. If you want to support more, please do so. But he's not just covering the locals. He has some videos on there of like Bridge Barcata and everything that is San Diego soccer. There's so much. For those of you that are not aware, San Diego is booming with soccer culture and with community. It's a beautiful freaking
always
thing.
Always has been.
Go and check it out. Soccer Shorts. And then all the podcasts too. I need to give a shout out to all the podcasts. We do one with the Loyal Locals. Go check out Fair Weather. Go check out, we have Two Balls and a Mic. I know those guys. You know, you might know who those guys are.
Yeah. They're down here eating them tacos from Tacos El Vaquero on occasion, bro.
Yeah, all the time. I know.
I want to be nice. So
go and check them out. But you can go and follow the locals at the Locals SG. And send us a message if you have any questions. If you want to be a part of it, go to thelocalssg.com. Just the THE locals, LOCALS, SG supported group. So SG.com. Ahí estás. You can follow me at Cheeto Jerry too.
How do I spell that?
Cheeto, C-H-I-D-O.
Okay, because I was going to say Cheeto, dog, like Flaming Hot Cheetos. Your fingers are red. I figured that's where the name came from. Cheeto. Hay servilletas.
Hot Cheetos. Hey, dude, did you hear that they're doing a documentary on the guy that created the Hot Cheetos?
Oh, who is this god that I need to learn?
He's a Mexican.
Is this the new Jesus Malverde, dog?
No, dude, he's a Chicano that used to, he used to just clean the offices at Frito-Lay's or whatever.
And then he created this taste?
Uh-huh.
I'm down. When is that coming out?
He's like a millionaire, dude.
When is that coming out?
I'm not sure, but there's some big names involved in that. So you might want to look into that.
Down. I'll look into that. Jerry, thank you for stopping by, brother. Pinche Gerardo, dude. Rico Suave shit, dog. Choo. That's the second time, man. I want to bring you in as soon as the season starts and everything is up and running. I'm going to bring in the Unnamed Soccer Podcast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that.
I know you did. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a chance to fucking talk about Darren and talk about Mr. Carruth. Listen, right now.
Jordan and Darren, those guys are doing great, great work.
Se la rifan.
Ooh, and they have a bunch of, a lot of loyal content. So go and check it out.
Yeah, they're doing they're doing the Lord's work as it relates to building the culture here in San Diego,
bro. Bring Gosh back?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about when Jordan Carruth comes in. I know I want to get Darren Smith, but he's big time, dog. I can't be reaching out to Darren Smith, but that guy is just, me regañan. But yeah, but Jordan Carruth, bro, I mean, I've gone to baseball games. We're going to go again this year. We already started talking about it. Like, we have a little tradition. We go smoke a little spliff in the parking lot, get some drinks, and then just enjoy a pottery game.
There you go.
Down. So yes, stay tuned for more soccer talk. If you weren't already bored, get ready to get bored even more when it comes to soccer talk, because we're at the pinnacle of the season. We got World Cup qualifiers coming up. We got teams missing out on the Olympics coming up. All of the things.
Jeez.
Soccer, is we going to take it all, or are they going to lose against the tropics?
No, give it to me now.
Give it to me now.
No,
we're winning. Make a friendly wager.
Bro.
Let's make a friendly wager.
A ver.
I don't know. I want San Diego Soccer to win. I always get fucked with because I always bet against our home team because I bet with my head, not with my heart. So like when San Diego State played, there was a bunch of fools just like, I'll bet you this, I'll do this. And you know what, dog? All right, cool. I'll take Syracuse. What? But you went to San. I know what I did and I know who I am, but I also know that you're just fucking talking shit that you have no idea. So I'm going to take those $50 from you. I'm going to take those $20 from you. Oh, yeah. And as soon as Syracuse beat them, which fucking scarred me mortally, wounded me on Friday night watching that match with my brother-in-law and at my parents' house. Yo quería llorar, cabrón.
Wiping your tears with the $50 bro. Bill.
But I was like, oh, you know what will make this better? Un pinche 50. Uno de 20. I was like, no problem. So as soon as I see fools coming out, always, even when the Chargers were here, the Chargers are going to win this. I was like, bro, no. We know what the Chargers are like. We've been fans forever. This is what they're capable of. I'll drop a C note on that. Oh, the Potters are going to win. You know what? Sometimes when you lose, you win. So I'll always bet with my heart, my head, bro. Get money.
There you go.
Jerry Menace, thank you for coming in.
Thanks,
stay
man.
Beautiful. Look at you. Ah, dog. That is a wrap for this episode of the Emo Brown, the Saddest Mexican Podcast. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Emo Brown. Give us a shout out at Twitter. We're on there too. And at Facebook, for those of you who still use Facebook, we're on there as well. More importantly, give us a visit at emobrown.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, all of the merch. There's more merch coming, as well as access to the Patreon Club, joining the Emo Brown Social Club. Don't be a stranger. Hop on in there. Join, submit, follow, todo el pelo. We appreciate your support. Thank you very much. Big things are coming. Besitos.